I hope I'm going out over the signal. I'm getting myself back to me now. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, 704-570-1110. And I don't know if I'm going out over the air or not because we're having some kind of a gremlin issue. I sound great back to myself. And we are going to be joined by Brett Jensen here shortly. We're getting him on the line. I hope we can get him on the line. That'd be really good. We are on the brink of Labor Day. Labor Day, ladies and gentlemen, and at which we celebrate labor by not working on Monday. And I'm going to have a very special commentary at about 21, 22 minutes past the hour about America's limited potential, because it's becoming readily apparent to me we are a nation of limited potential, and I am going to name names and point fingers at exactly who is responsible for our underperformance as a superpower. Well, we're not even a superpower anymore. Let's be honest. We're an average power, maybe sub-average power. We welcome back to the program our good friend Breaking Brett Jensen, who joins us on the phone now. Brett Jensen, good to have you back.
Thank you, and you always sound good.
Yeah, thanks, man. You would not believe, well, I sound great. Okay, so Brett Jensen, let me ask you a question, and it's this. You are watching very closely the stuff that's going on out there. There was a press conference earlier today. Gibby talking about what? Stay home, hide under the bed, wear a mask, don't do anything fun of any kind. What is it that she's talking about?
You know, she did have the press conference today, and the big thing with her today was it was just like the other day with all the hospitals that had the press conference. It was more or less saying, you know, about getting the vax. But then they did a correlation between this Labor Day and then last year's Labor Day. You know, right now in Mecklenburg County, we're at a 13.1% positivity rate. You know, in the month of August, we had 65 deaths. I think we had somewhere around 18 or 20 in July, and we had like 6 in June. And we also had a few people in their 20s just die recently in August. And a couple of them didn't have any underlying health conditions. Some did, but a couple of them did not. They're just regular people, apparently, that just caught it and then died. And so it was centered around that. But, you know, the one big thing that was the takeaway was, Brett, in terms of she was asked specifically about what's going on this weekend in Charlotte with the Georgia-Clemson game. You know, that's going to be the national game, and it's being played here in Charlotte tomorrow night. And she was asked specifically about that, 75,000 people together, not wearing a mask. And she said, I'm not worried about the Panthers. She said, we talk about the Panthers. We talk to them all the time. The Panthers know what's going on. We're very confident in the Panthers. She said, our concern is you've got all these thousands and thousands of people coming in from out of town, out of state, from Georgia, Clemson, and other parts of North Carolina that don't understand what the rules are here. And that they're, so she says, she goes, I'm really, really anxious and concerned about this weekend's game. She goes, because there's no way 75,000 people won't have, you know, some of them won't be positive. And so she said that was her big concern, not next week's game against the Jets with the Panthers, but it's tomorrow's game that concerns her the most.
You know, we're in a situation, Brett, where there's a number of variants that are out there. We have the Delta variant. We've got the Mu variant. There's going to be 200 other variants before all this is done. Are we supposed to panic every time there's a new variant that shows up? I mean, because I know there are people who are in the press who are desperate for catastrophe at every turn. And we know who they are. Two of them are very prominent locally here. I'm not going to ask you to throw them under the bus. But these people have got to grow up and understand that if you vaccinate everybody in America, there are still going to be variants that are going to get under the wire. And I just don't understand this running across the airplane screaming, oh my God, we're all going to die. We have to cancel games. We have to cancel events. We have to go back to virtual. I mean, my Lord, what are we going to do about this? I don't expect that you have the answer, but I mean, this is insane.
Well, you know, and that was sort of asked to Gibby late in the press conference. And you know, and she, in terms of what are we looking at going forward? And she point blank said, look, it's here to stay. Like, it's not going anywhere. Like, this is a thing. And, you know, like polio was a big thing, obviously, and then it was eventually more or less eradicated, and there's still some pop-ups here and there. But in terms, she said, COVID's here to stay. She goes, there's going to be other variants, and we're going to be getting boosters every 8 to 12 months. Dr. Reynard Washington is going to be taking her place, and he's an epidemiologist, and so he's going to be the new Mecklenburg County Health Director. And so, she point blank said, "Look, it's here to stay. It is here to stay."
Well, this is disappointing in the extreme, the way you look at this situation, and I think the press needs to grow up, and I think many of our political leaders need to grow up and understand that since we can't blame China for this, we can't hold them to account, we can't do any of that kind of stuff, we can't expect any answers, nobody wants to be in the answer business. Well, we have to be mature enough to handle the fact that there are people who are going to get sick, there are people who are going to die, which is terrible. I would prefer that that not happen to anybody. But, we've got these people that are just really into the almost voyeuristic nature of looking at this and getting all excited and overheated. And, it's a really frustrating situation. And yet it's interesting because the only people that suffer and get punished are average, normal Americans who go out and get the shot, wear the stupid masks, do all that kind of stuff. And you still get, but there is no upside to this. There is no upside to this at all in terms of participation and being a solid citizen. And that's very frustrating. I think I'll give you the last word.
No. And you're right about that. And look, the big question that they have to answer is, do you sacrifice the many to save the few? And that's the overlying condition. Do you sacrifice the many and all the many's rights to save the few who are going to refuse to get the vaccine no matter what?
It doesn't matter
if it was made of pure sugar, they're
Amen.
Not going to get the vaccine. And
Amen.
So, and so that's the thing. Do you sacrifice everyone's rights and everyone's freedoms? Because, again, if you have the vaccine and I have the vaccine, but somehow I catch it,
that's
and
right.
by some remote chance I give it to you, you're going to be okay. But if you choose not to wear the vaccine or get the vaccine,
right.
then, that's on you. And I personally don't care one way or the other if you get the vaccine or not. I really don't. It's like wearing a motorcycle helmet in South Carolina. South Carolina, it's not required. In North Carolina, it is.
Right.
You know what the risks are. You know what the dangers are if you choose not to wear
it's
a
true.
Motorcycle helmet. I don't
true.
Care.
Yeah.
And so, but that's the underlying factor right now is, Gibby Harris point blank said, this is here to stay.
Great stuff, Brett Jensen. Follow him on Twitter @Brett_Jensen. Appreciate you being here. Enjoy the weekend, my friend, and we'll pick it up next week.
Thanks a lot, Brett. Have a great weekend.
You too.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
Hey, buddy. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. So we got a very depressing jobs number that came out earlier today, and this ought to really strike a chord with a lot of people who are looking at these sorts of phenomenon. And certainly, if you are a business owner who's had difficulty hiring folks to come in and go to work at your company or your restaurant or your concern, I would love to hear from you and hear the challenges that you're dealing with. Because here's the situation. We... from the Wizards of Smart on Wall Street and ADP and all those companies that look at employment data, we were expected to create in the month of August 720,000 new jobs. 720,000 new jobs. We created across the entire country, a nation of 325 million people, we created a total of 235,000 jobs across the country in the month of August. That is disgraceful. That is disgraceful. I'll guarantee you there were probably almost as many illegal aliens crossing the southern border in the month of August as jobs we created. And here's the ugly part of this story. There are 10.9 million open jobs in America right now. 10.9 million jobs in America right now. People are not going and taking them. They're not applying for them because you have a government that's paying people to sit on the couch. You go to the restaurants, you see how crowded they are. You see how short-staffed these poor people are. I know for a fact because I have somebody in my family who has as a job a restaurant hostess and waitressing job, okay? And this is a person who works very hard, is a full-time student, but still works shifts and is called in to work shifts, and they're very happy about working those shifts. But the fact of the matter is, you can't find people to go work these jobs, and they are making great money. You're coming into Labor Day weekend with football and all that goes along with this. It is incredible. It is incredible. 10.9 million open jobs. If you don't believe me, go on tradingeconomics.com. It's free. You can look there. You can look at all the fundamentals of our economy. And so why do I bring this up? Because right now we have President Biden going down to Louisiana to inspect the damage from Hurricane Ida. And we know how horrible it was and devastating it was. And we know how devastating it was in the Northeast and all the way through here just a couple of nights ago. His prescription is going to be, we got to do the Green New Deal. We got to spend $5 trillion to do the Green New Deal. No, we don't. We don't need to do any of that because we don't have the capacity to do it. If you decide you want to unveil the Green New Deal with a bunch of great new green new jobs, you don't have workers that'll take the jobs because you're paying them to be idle. We cannot do a Green New Deal. We cannot put a man on Mars. We cannot do the big things we used to be able to do. And it breaks my heart to say this because we have become an average country. An average country. And I'm not going to blame immigration, immigrants, this group, that group. I'm going to blame government. You pay people not to go to work, and then you expect magically that people are going to go take jobs when they don't take jobs. And you sit back and you call that a success. You shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. You shut that down when we've just had the energy sector hammered in the Gulf. You go begging for more oil from the OPEC nations. You go begging to allow a pipeline to run into Eastern Europe from Russia and Ukraine. What is wrong with you, Mr. President? So you're going to go down there and make a pitch today for we need Green New Deal. No, we need abatement. We have to abate the dangers from climate change. We cannot fix climate change because we can't put people to work. We can't battle and beat COVID. We can't beat the freaking Taliban. We lost to the Taliban. They just took the entire country, and you're telling us a success. This country can't do big things like this anymore. Cannot do big things like this anymore. You're not going to convince me to the contrary. And you want to know why? It's a dirty word. It's a filthy word. Get ready, Josh. You may have to dump me. Standards. We got rid of our standards. We everybody gets an A. Everybody gets on the honor roll. We don't put a premium on having people who want to become scientists, who want to become entrepreneurs, who want to become biotech people. And when we do get those people, we have to bring them in from other parts of the world that still have functioning education systems. We're too busy with CRT and Heather Has Two Mommies and this is a story time, drag queen hour, all that kind of stuff. We do all that really well. We got great reality TV programs, don't we? We got awesome TV shows. We got this, we got that. And we don't have the ability to do what Thomas Edison did. We don't have the ability to do what Wernher von Braun did. I know he was an immigrant. We have nothing to do that Tesla did, that Marconi did, that any of the great experiments were able to pull off, that Henry Ford was able to do. None of it. We couldn't do it today. You know why? We lowered our standards, we lowered our expectations, and we defined achievement down so far that we can't even keep a pipeline open. You want to find workers? You want to find workers? Good luck as long as the government's outbidding you. And what do all the cable channels want to talk about? The Texas abortion law. Okay. News talk.
You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app. At participating McDonald's.
1110-993-WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Our number 704-570-1110 on Twitter. At Winterbull Show. I want to open with a little Latin in this clip, okay? I want to open with a little bit of Latin. Primum non nocere. Primum non nocere. It's Latin for first do no harm. That's what it is. It's Latin for first do no harm. And this ought to be the driving force for the federal government, the president, Anybody else who's in a position of power, as I told you in that last segment, we got 10.9 million open jobs right now in this country. You've got an unemployment rate of about 5.2%. But do you know what the black unemployment rate is? Do you know what the African-American unemployment rate is? It's north of 9%. North of 9%. And what is the prescription coming from the White House, from President Joseph Robinette Biden? What is the prescription? Well, Biden's urging Congress to pass his economic plans after a weak jobs report. Quote, our country needs these investments. President Joe Biden pushed Congress to pass his economic plans to boost sluggish job growth. Democrats are trying to approve two bills that together would invest, quote unquote, more than $4 trillion in infrastructure, climate policy, and the social safety net. That social safety net is just to be translated as something very easy to understand. It's to be translated as pay people not to go to work. It's a welfare program, essentially. Biden's comments came a day after Democrat Senator Joe Manchin called for his party to delay its consideration of an up to $3.5 trillion bill. The president made the case for spending on infrastructure, climate policy, and the social safety net after the Labor Department reported that there were only 235,000 jobs created across the entire United States in August. Now, of course, Joe Biden is pinning the blame for this on the highly contagious Delta variant. You know, Americans need to get that COVID-19 vaccine, said Joe Biden. He said the U.S. could boost its economy by reining in the virus and passing his two economic plans. What if I told you that I think his two economic plans may be a virus for our economy? They may be the thing that's going to harm our economy more than anything else. He says, as part of the sales pitch, it'll help the middle class and make the country more resilient to the kind of extreme weather that knocked out power in New Orleans and crippled transit in New York City in recent days. Why did New Orleans survive this latest strike? I mean, it took a big hit, but why didn't it have a Katrina part two? You know, you saw the weather people rooting for Katrina part two. You didn't see it come to pass, though. Why? Because they built bigger and better levees. Okay? It's not about controlling the climate. There is no thermostat somewhere on the planet that we can go adopt and adjust and do that kind of stuff. It's about mitigating the harms. It's about mitigating the harms. If you go out to the West, which is on fire right now, you will see electric lines strung across telephone poles, much in the same way you saw at the turn of the last century. They haven't buried the lines. They haven't run the lines underground. They haven't done any of that. Same thing in many other parts of the country. What that's going to mean that when you have wind or storms, the lines will go down, the fires will break out. You mitigate that. You have to mitigate that. But apparently we can't do that. We don't have that ability, but we can control the climate. Joe Biden told you that there was not going to be a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan, but Joe Biden will tell you that he can control the climate. Really? What's the proper temperature for the planet? Well, Brett, what are you doing? Why are you saying what's the temperature for the planet is a very complex living, breathing organism that, what do you mean what's the temperature? There's a northern and a southern hemisphere. When there's winter there, there's summer there. What are you doing, Brett? No. You're saying if all we got to do is spend $5 trillion and fix the climate, then what do we do first? Are we throwing virgins into volcanoes? Because it would have the same effect, essentially. It would have the same exact effect. So he says, our country needs these investments. I'm not asking for anything other than some fairness being injected into the system. Now, at the same time, he wants to spike taxes. He wants to raise taxes. On who? On everybody. They're talking about the greatest increase in taxes since 1968, which is always interesting to me because that's about the time that he peaked as a human being. So we're going to raise taxes. We're going to pay people not to go to work. We're going to bring in people from other countries that are coming through illegally. They can't even tell you how many Americans got out of Afghanistan since we retreated, retrograded, repossessed, whatever term you want to use. They can't even tell you how many Americans have gotten out. They can't tell you where 50,000 children have gone. Heck, here in Charlotte, they can't tell you where 8,000 kids went when they disappeared off the rolls. But we're going to fix that climate, darn it. We're going to fix that climate. I don't think we can achieve big things. I think we got to dial back our expectations. We got to hope for 8-8. I don't believe we're going to be able to go 12-4. Change my mind.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. Yeah, this hour's flying by, and I haven't talked to anybody yet. So let's jump out and talk to a couple of our great callers out there. Let's go and talk to Jim. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the program.
Appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, sir.
I agree with you pretty much every day with what you say and how you inform us, because we don't get good news nowadays. The news media is so liberal. They taint it towards our left-wing government.
Sure.
And I'm a little bit ticked off. My son was a Marine. He served over in Afghanistan for over a year. Mm-hmm. They had an Afghan interpreter that went everywhere with them to help them. And that guy saved my son's platoon several times.
Thank God.
And went to different tribes and gotten food to help them when they didn't have any food. And these are the people that our president leaves over there. Not only that, they leave Americans over there.
Yes, sir.
And the equipment, if I keep going, I'm going to have a heart attack.
I know.
That's my taxpayer money that he's just flushing down the toilet.
Yep, that's right. Even worse, he's letting the bad guys take it, which is even worse. I mean,
I'm 65 years old. I would have never in my right mind think that we would have a president that would do this stuff. My dad served in World War II.
Yes, sir.
So we could have freedom in this country.
That's right.
And it's crumbling in around us. And I'm sick and tired.
Listen, Jim, here's what I would say. First of all, God bless your son. And I'm happy that we have heroes like him who were able to do what they could do. But like everything else, you see the way the politicians come in and handle this situation. And I'm going to can I speak totally honestly with you for a quick moment about this?
Speak honest with me. Because that's who I am.
All right, let me say this, and I'm serious. You stay there, don't go anywhere. This decision wasn't even made by Biden. Okay, this decision is made by Ron Klain and Blinken and this cadre of people who try to figure out, okay, what is the proper time to execute a political decision? And this fight against Al-Qaeda doesn't go away. This is a terribly chronic condition that we're going to face. And the idea that we would just create a new landing pad again, like you said, your father fought in World War II, right?
Thousands of years.
Yes, sir. But your father fought in World War II. So we remember the winning strategy of taking the islands in the Pacific, right? We had to go and hop from island to island till we got to Japan. Could you imagine? Right. Could you imagine if Roosevelt or Truman had come out and said, we're going to give Saipan back to the Japanese Imperial military? Because you know what?
Somebody would have assassinated.
They wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it because they understood the concept of victory. And that's it. Now, was Trump right in making the decision? I don't know. But when people try to point to Trump on this, Trump established his bona fides, as far as I'm concerned, by killing Soleimani. Biden opposed it, and killing al-Baghdadi. The Democrats complained about it. They complained about it. Remember, they were upset that the dog was getting celebrated. And so
I'm telling you, we have no credibility in this world whatsoever. Now
we don't, you know, that's the biggest loss of this whole conversation, because there was a time for 70 years, people knew if you were going to try us, there was going to be a response. Now they got the message. You can just wait us out. And my Lord. If you're the other countries in NATO, are you going to want to jump in with us and help? These people are going to start to fracture and go their own way. That's my biggest fear of what this guy did.
And that in itself is a predicament for the United States.
It sure is. But I think We can repair this. The damage is serious, but it's not terminal. And I think we can repair this, but it's going to take time. And it's going to take all of us lending our voices to the conversation. And I really believe that, Jim. And don't get your BP up.
We need to let our senators and congressmen know how we feel.
That's right.
Because you're right. The president is just a figure. He doesn't have control of what's going on. Senate and the Congress do. And we need, as Americans in this day and time, we need to get involved. We need to get active. We need to write our politicians and let them know how we feel.
Got to light them up. Got to call them when they come home for the town halls. You got to show up and demand it. Because guess what? If I were in the Congress or the Senate and I were a significant player there, Jim, I'd be saying, infrastructure bill? Good luck, Mr. President. Changing the courts, nationalizing elections. The store is closed until you get every American out of Afghanistan and the support people that were there who worked with us.
There you go. He tweeted out, you know, about the storm and Louisiana, saying he was going to come to the rescue. I made a remark. How about rescuing the people that were left behind in Afghanistan?
100%.
And I've had a ton of people say, well, you know, give him a chance. You know, well, how much time does this government need to do what is right?
That's right. And that's exactly the case. And he and the vice president have got to come out and start answering some questions. We need to know who's running this railroad, how this is going, and what the plan is.
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
No, I know. I know. You know, we'll just.
He turned his back and walked away from us. Now, he might think he walked away from the news media in that conference, but he walked away from America.
That's right.
And he turned his back and walked away.
I appreciate your call. Appreciate God bless your son. And Jim, please don't be a stranger. You call back anytime. It's great to talk to you. And I look forward to our next conversation. That's 1 hour down. Another one straight ahead. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. For many of you, you're familiar with the concept of Atlas shrugging, you know, Atlas shrugged. Well, Atlas is starting to shrug. You're starting to see it with companies that have absolutely started losing their mind about the labor issue that we're facing. Let me give you one example. This is not here in Charlotte or North or South Carolina. This is the other end of the country out there in Washington, Stan. And Jimmy John's manager has been so frustrated with the labor situation that they have come to post a sign on the window of their restaurant. A Jimmy John's in Bellevue, Washington is being transparent about why their service might be lacking. Here's what happened. They couldn't find people to hire to work because people are staying home. They're collecting checks. So they put up a sign, taped it to the window, and it says this: sadly, due to government handouts, no one wants to work anymore. Therefore, we are short-staffed. Please be patient and kind with the staff that did choose to come to work today in order for you to have your Jimmy John's. Have a wonderful day. The general manager said that it's close to impossible to hire people right now. This particular manager of this particular Jimmy John's location in Washington State said she's had an active job posting up for a few months and applicants aren't even showing up for interviews. She said she has 5 employees working in the store. She would normally have 10 to 12 employees, so she's down 50%. On any given day, people can come in here and see how busy we are. She said, the entire lobby is filled. I have deliveries coming in that I'm trying to do all by myself while they're taking people who are in the shop. People are just mean. They expect super fast service. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but their slogan is their slogan. I'm not going to point it out. But she says, I'm sorry, there are 17 people in front of you that ordered before you, and we're doing the best we can. She pointed out that the government is sending the final $300 supplemental checks out in the first week of September. Without that extra money, they're going to have to work, she said. She's grateful that that she and her coworkers are developing skills and a strong work ethic. You know, this is an interesting thing to look at. You know that people are going to have to come in and start to work. Are you still going to offer the 15 or the 17 or the 19 or the 20 an hour for the people that are now coming in? See, I would pay the current people like 20 an hour, and then anybody new coming in, I'm going to be going at the market rate, because supply and demand tells you that that's the case. Here's a good friend of the program and of the station sent a note talking about a friend that owns a nice restaurant. It's a restaurant and a catering business that this person is offering $20 an hour. This is a local business here in the Charlotte Metro. Offering $20 an hour, has not had an application in 6 months. This man or woman is down 30 employees from where they should be right now. 30 employees. When you go and you bid against government, you have got an uphill battle in front of you. Look, I've thought about it. I've thought about saying, you know what we're going to do? We'll do a radio job fair. Like, you could call in, tell us what you're looking for. The fact of the matter is, most of the people that are listening to the show and the station are the sort of people who are driven to work, to work hard, to get out there and take these jobs. It's about trying to persuade the others that don't want to jump in yet. And so, you know, it's weird when you think about this. As those $300 checks stop going out and the need for money increases, you're going to have an increased supply of workers going into the workforce. So all I'm saying is, if you went and got a job today at $15, $20 an hour, when all the other people come into these employment situations, the wages are going to go down. Supply, demand, high demand, low supply. You see what I'm saying? High supply, low demand. You could go out and hook yourself up with a great job if you went out this weekend and started working, knowing full well that that's the last $300 check you're getting from Uncle Joe, Comrade Joe. I mean, that's the time to get in there. But once you're 2, 3, 4 weeks down the road, you're going to be complaining about the wage. Oh, the wages went down. The wages went down. Why do you think Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway stock is, what is it, $500,000 a share or whatever it is? There's a small supply. There's a small supply. And that's what it comes down to. The labor market isn't governed by a rich guy who sits in his mansion lighting cigars with $50 bills. And we create this impression that that's what rich people do. Ah, they're just stingy. They don't want to pay. No. How much is... Somebody tell me, what's the going rate for the ticket to go to a Clemson-Georgia game this week? What's the going rate on that ticket for Clemson-Georgia? It's expensive. Really expensive. Why? Because there's a lot of people that want that ticket. If we could somehow explain that to the folks out there that want to sit on the couch and not work, and you say supply, demand, the time to go get a job is when there's a high demand for employees, a high demand. Because then you can negotiate for a better wage. You can negotiate for more days off. You can negotiate for, I don't want to work weekends, or I only want to work weekends. You can negotiate for all that. I know five people running pizza places that are desperate for delivery people. I know people that are running all sorts of businesses that are desperate. People just want to cash those Biden checks. They want to cash those Pelosi checks. They want to cash those. It's a tough deal. You got to understand the supply and demand in the market. News.
You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app at participating McDonald's.
Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. So let's dive into what it is that they've got planned in terms of this these tax hikes that are coming your way. I saw earlier today that Chuck Schumer, everybody's favorite senator from New York, was talking about how now is the time to spend on climate change after Ida, hit the Gulf Coast and then went ripping up the East Coast of the United States, the Northeast specifically. Well, Senate Democrats on the Finance Committee are now exploring a wide array of tax options outside of just raising the corporate and capital gains tax to pay for their proposed package. They have a package. They want to pay for their package, and they're going to come to you for the money to pay for their package. While some of the proposals have been public for weeks, notes the Washington Examiner, including raising the corporate income tax rate and capital gains tax rate, other policies, such as new taxes on stock buybacks, executive compensation, and carbon emissions, were not part of the plan originally proposed. One of the options being offered by the Senate Finance Chairman Ron Wyden is a yearly tax on the unrealized gains of billionaires and a tax on companies based on the company's ratio of executive pay to the average pay of employees, according to the Wall Street Journal. Okay, so the unrealized gains of billionaires. So you own, you're a billionaire and you own a stock. You own a company, okay? So you're Jeff Bezos, right? And your stock, I'm just going to make up a number. The stock is $500 a share. I'm just making the number up. And this year you did a really good amount of business and the stock has gone up to $800 a share. But you haven't sold any stock. It's just the unrealized gains, okay? They're going to tax you on that difference, saying, well, your stock went up to $800 a share, so we're going to tax you on that. Yeah, but I didn't cash it out. I didn't actually liquidate my position. But no. You're going to get those. You're going to have to pay tax on the unrealized gains. Well, could they do that to people who own a house? Like, say you bought a house for $100,000 and the house is now worth $250,000. And even though you haven't sold the house, we're going to tax you on the unrealized gains of that increase. Well, they could do it to a billionaire. They can do it to you. They have all the power. And Ron Wyden is an especially nasty senator. They want to tax companies based on the company's ratio of executive pay to the average pay of employees. So like Walmart, the executives at Walmart make X, and that's 42 times what the average stock boy, makes. So we're gonna raise your taxes because of that. But if you were to turn around and make every stocker or stock boy or cashier earn $175,000 a year, well, now we won't tax you. Some of the proposals are also really idiotic. They target the environment. Oil and gas companies face the loss of tax breaks and a 20-cent per pound tax on virgin plastics. Virgin plastic is plastic that is produced from oil as opposed to previously used and recycled material. Yeah, that price probably won't get passed along to the consumer, would it? Of course it will. Anytime a corporation gets taxed, they pass it along to the consumer. The Finance Committee is also looking to crack down on ways that people avoid paying estate taxes, such as grantor retained annuity trusts and intentionally defective grantor trusts. Well, that'll get you probably about $30 million to the bottom line. Another idea is to introduce an excise tax on stock buybacks and curtail corporate deductions for executive pay. Again, see my earlier comment. You can tax it. They're going to just translate it into charging the consumer or the shareholder. Biden previously proposed hiking the corporate tax rate by 7 percentage points, 21 to 28%. The initial Biden tax plan called for raising top individual income rate to 39.6% and taxing capital gains for households making more than $1 million as ordinary income. Capital gains tax hikes are tricky because some centrists might express an aversion to doing that. So they might move it from $1 million to $5 million per person or $10 million per couple. What are you going to charge for a thruple, you weirdos? This is all rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic that is the Obama-Biden-Harris economic approach here, folks. It's not complicated. The Biden tax hikes would eliminate 1 million jobs in the first 2 years and would eliminate 600,000 jobs per year over the first decade. That's according to a study by economists John Diamond and George Zadrow. President Biden and congressional Democrats want to raise the corporate tax rate to 28%. That's higher than communist China's 25% rate. A corporate tax rate would be borne by workers and consumers, and as noted by Stephen Enten of the Tax Foundation, workers already bear nearly 70% of the cost of corporate tax through lower wages and fewer jobs. They think there's a magical pile of money in a closet. This is not Hunter's magical pile of money closet where he's got Mr. 10%'s 10%. We don't have that. Workers don't have that. A 2020 study by the National Bureau of Economic Research found that 31% of the corporate tax falls on consumers. It will go up. President Biden and congressional Democrats want to double the capital gains rate, making the average top rate 48.8% after state taxes. This tax hike will threaten business creation, business expansion, entrepreneurship, retirement savings, and jobs and wages. They also want to create a second death tax by repealing the step-up basis. That will impose capital gains taxes, which Biden already proposed to raising to 43.4% on the unrealized gains of every asset owner by a taxpayer when they die, and will be imposed in addition to the 40% death tax. What must it be like to wake up every single day and say, today I'm going to punish people in my country? Today, I'm not going to be held to account for my bad decisions. Just remember this, folks. Just remember this. The man who so seriously mismanaged the border, the Keystone XL pipeline, effected a surrender in Afghanistan, left behind $85 billion in military equipment, that man wants to be in charge of your economy. Do you trust him? News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Good to be here with you. I'm Brett Witterbull. Wonderful to be spending this time with you. Let's grab a call. It's been a little bit since we took a call, so what do you say we jump out there and we talk to Teresa next up? Teresa, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, I have been looking for work since last November, and nobody's hiring me.
Well, what's going on? What happened?
Well, I think it's because part of my age.
Oh.
I am not somebody who works in the hospitality industry. I'm looking for like a clerical or receptionist type job.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so what happens is I either don't hear anything.
Right.
I get a rejection letter. Or they've changed their mind and not going to hire anybody.
Wow. Okay. This is tricky. I'm trying to think of how you could do this. So I think, have you tried to do something online? Have you tried to do something that's like a virtual job?
Oh, have I looked for a virtual job?
Yeah.
Not really. Well, I haven't seen too many out there.
Oh, you got to go. You got to go. It takes a little. You got to crawl around through some of these, through some of the sites out there. That's what you got to do. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
You got to go. You got to go look at this. I mean, I was using restaurants as an example, right? But if you're looking for a different sort of a job, a lot of receptionist stuff gets farmed out now into the virtual world. Clerical stuff, same sort of stuff like that. You're getting a lot of stuff that's being farmed out because they couldn't find employees, right? So there's always going to be a solution there. Is it possible you can expand, your target market there? That's not just clerical or receptionist type stuff. I mean, is there other stuff that you might want to look into maybe trying to do that might be something you can do?
Oh, I have.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's good. It's all going to be about, like I said, supply and demand. If there's demand, people are going to pay, right? If there's a demand for their service that they can't meet, then they're going to pay. If it's something that they've decided to farm out to a part-time college student or somebody who's virtual, then that's going to be a different situation entirely. So it's about hitting that target spot. And I would say, you know, just you've got more opportunity today to search for stuff like that. You know, Indeed, I'm not endorsing.
You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app at participating McDonald's.
I think, but you know, Indeed, Monster, all these different sites that exist. But Teresa, good luck with that. I mean, I wish I could, I could put you in touch with the right people, but it's about kind of searching it out. Unfortunately, that's really what it's going to come down to. And believe me, I understand age is a factor. Age is a factor. You hit a certain number and then people look at you like you're decrepit. And what I would say is, I'm not saying you're decrepit. I'm saying the general you, the we, whatever it is. There are people who are going to say, I don't want you because you're too old. And these are the same people that when you were young would have said, yeah, you're too young for this job. So what I'm looking for is a 27 to 48-year-old to take this piece of work. You know, that's what you're looking for. But a lot of people are still looking for folks that we can place out there. And I think that's the important thing. I mean, you got to just keep what's the motto of the Panthers? You got to keep pounding. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can find a job. I'm looking at these jobs that high school and college kids are picking up. I mean, we had the story about a month ago with that restaurant out of Texas that was hiring 17 and 18-year-old people to come and be managers making $50,000 a year. That is a warped labor market, if that's the case. That is a warped labor market. If you want to call and share your thoughts on that, I'd love to hear from you. You look at this Afghanistan picture for a second, and we've gone to this very strange place on Afghanistan. We've gone to this place where the Taliban was our mortal enemy, and then we found out the Taliban were our partners with our departure from Afghanistan. And now we're starting to see things like John Kirby and Tony Blinken coming out and saying things like, you know, I could envision a scenario in which we work with the Taliban. You could? For what purpose? Why do we suddenly feel like the Taliban is somebody we can work with? Would you work with Al-Qaeda? I mean, because if you think about it, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are kissing cousins, right? I mean, for sure, they're kissing cousins. So at what point would you say, you know, I think we could work with Al-Qaeda? And then at what point do you go, I think we could work with ISIS? I think we could do something like that. I mean, there may be some intersectionality there between us. There may be some overlap in the Venn diagram between us and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS. I mean, there may be something, but maybe they may want to work on the climate change with us. Maybe they want to be a part of the climate change. Maybe they want to be a part of that universe where we're going to take care of the environment. Why is it that, you know, we're in a situation here where we're just assuming that the Taliban don't want to end the climate change as well? Tony is up next. Hello, Tony.
Hello. I wanted to share with you the woman that was just on talking about not being able to be hired because of her age.
Uh-huh.
I'm in my 80th year. I'm 41 haired, so I cannot hide that. And I am working. Is it in my field? No.
Uh-huh.
I was a documentary producer, shooter, editor, and I was a public speaker to the medical and educational field. So
wow.
I'm not making the money I once did, but I'll take the $10 an hour at a daycare so that I can pay my taxes. So I can't imagine being out of work since November mm-hmm. when there are plenty of, unfortunately, low-paying jobs available that one can do while they're looking for work in their own profession.
That is so awesome, Tony. That is such a great story that you did all those things and you're still looking for work and you got work. Now, can I ask you a question? Were you ever a teacher or an educator?
No, oddly enough, the reason educators and the medical profession want me to talk to their conferences is because I was not properly educated. I graduated from high school reading at the fifth grade level.
Wow.
And I understand the consequences of that and can describe them in a way that can make adults cry.
Wow. Wow.
yet I refuse to be who I was told I was.
Good.
And I pulled myself sort of up by my bootstraps kind of thing. But I also married very well, although I'm widowed. And that helped me get over a lot of the emotional, stupid, psychological baggage so I could see that I had purpose and opportunity. So, yes, I've done things that I was not educated to do, and I've done them well enough to be paid well. And there are no more medical conferences right
now. Yeah, yeah.
But again, although I would prefer to be making more than $10 an hour, and I don't always enjoy the two-year-olds, it is a job, and I like having money in my bank account.
You are a warrior. God bless you, Tony. honestly, no, you really are, because this is exactly, you are making me smile, because I believe that this is who we are as a country. I know what you're saying about, you know, maybe it's not the thing you love with the kids and all that. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, I'm going to guess you're like a shark. You're going to swim until you can't swim anymore. Right. That's what it comes down to.
When Mecklenburg County raised my taxes.
Yes.
My choice was, let somebody take my 1,100 square foot townhome away from me.
Oh my God.
Or follow the rules, which was, when they raised my taxes, I was not about to let go of that.
Yep. God bless you. You are the best thing I've heard in months. I appreciate you, Tony. I appreciate you, Tony. I do.
My head just got really blown up, but thank you.
No, you're the best. Please call me whenever you want, because you're exactly the kind of people I'm celebrating. Thank you, Tony.
You too. Bye-bye.
All the best. Have a wonderful weekend. That's a lady that earned Labor Day. Let me tell you right.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
Right now, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. It is good to be here. With you breaking down all the big stories that are out there as we get ready to go into the Labor Day weekend, which, you know, I can't believe how fast summer went. Summer went very, very quickly. And it was certainly my hope that we would have been in a much different place today than we are in terms of the COVID and, of course, the Delta variant and all this kind of stuff. To me, it's very sad that we're in this place that we're not all free to go about what it is we want to do and all this sort of stuff. And I feel like the press has fallen down in one important way, and that is in pushing the conversation at the White House level and at the federal level, the broader federal level, for finding out where this thing came from. It feels like they've sort of endorsed this idea of chaos is our friend, Afghanistan, and now we've got disasters. We've got all this kind of stuff, and we overlook a lot of the important stories out there. We overlook a lot of the important stories out there, like, you know, the origins of course, the COVID. Where did it come from? How did it happen? Why is it happening? Where is it happening? And then there's this. Josh, you got to pay attention to this one. This is a big deal. This may be one of the biggest stories that nobody's talking about. Did you know the Federal Trade Commission is investigating the McDonald's broken ice cream machines? McDonald's loyal fans are used to the fast food chain's ice cream machines being broken. Last year, software engineer Rashik Zahid even made a website called McBroken.com that actually tracks McDonald's restaurants where the machines are out of order and where ice cream cones, McFlurry desserts, milkshakes, and sundaes are available. Now the machines are under investigation by the Federal Trade Commission. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. In a statement to the USA Today, McDonald's says it has no reason to believe we are the focus of an FTC investigation. Quote, intrinsic to the interest in our soft serve machines is our fans' love of McDonald's iconic McFlurry desserts and shakes. The company said in a statement, nothing is more important to us than delivering our high standards for food quality and safety, which is why we work with fully vetted partners that can reliably provide safe solutions at scale. That's a lot of words. According to the Wall Street Journal, McDonald's franchise owners have complained that the machines are complicated and the breakdowns are difficult to fix. They also require nightly cleaning. Oh, Josh, nightly cleanings that can take hours, 4 hours, just to clean the ice cream machine. When are we going to get a dirty ice cream machine Thursday from Mark Garrison on Charlotte at 6? The company says it has a team working on the problems and are introducing new solutions. In August of 2020, McDonald's even poked fun at the problems on Twitter. Quote, we have a joke about our soft serve machine, but we're worried it won't work, said the tweet. You can't do that. You can't laugh at your own problem if it's a serious problem. See what they're doing, though? They're dialing it down. They're dumbing it down. They're making it not such a big deal. So we will continue to watch the situation with McFlurries and all that. This out of the state of Tennessee. A 911 caller reported hearing gunshots and a scream, forcing three Tennessee schools to go on lockdown. It was all because of a couple's gender reveal gathering, according to the Murfreesboro Police Department in a news release. Upon learning that they were having a boy, the dad-to-be fired celebratory rounds into the air, and the mom screamed out of excitement at about 1:30 p.m. on a Wednesday. Wait a minute. You don't shoot bullets up into the air. You don't pump rounds up into the air. Those things go up, they come down, and you sure as hell don't do it at 1:30 in the afternoon on a Wednesday. I mean, you don't do it at all. But if you were to pick a time that you shouldn't do it, it would be 1:30 in the afternoon on a Wednesday. A neighbor who heard the noises on Oak Hill Drive called 911, and officers put John Pittard Elementary and Oakland Middle and High Schools on lockdown out of caution. This is 35 miles southeast of Nashville. Officers discovered it wasn't an active shooter, but instead a couple making a phone call to share their baby news with out-of-town relatives, according to the police. The expectant dad, whose name wasn't listed in the news release, later faced a charge of unlawful discharge of a weapon within city limits. Yeah, you don't want to discharge there in the city limits like that, because that's like super illegal. During the gender reveal, the parents-to-be typically gather with loved ones to find out whether they're having a boy or a girl. It's a trend that has grown in popularity. Remember a couple weeks ago we had the story about the guy who lit the bomb off and it was heard in like two states? He lit a bunch of Tannerite off? Well, in February, officials said an expectant dad was killed when a device he was making for a gender reveal exploded. Last year, a pyrotechnic device went off that was similar to that event, and it caused that California blaze that burned thousands of acres. As the fire raged on, a woman who credited herself with making gender reveals popular urged people to stop doing them. She's previously said she had regrets because the parties overemphasized one aspect of the person. We've done a DNA test. It turns out this kid is likely to become a CEO of a company. Woohoo! That's a different aspect. We have every reason to believe that in the year 2036, this kid's going to go in the first round of the NFL as a quarterback. We've done a test. Yeah, I keep going back to the fact that it was 1:30 on a Wednesday. Like, that's problematic. You could have done firecrackers, and you could have screamed. You know, you could have done that. You could have popped a bottle of champagne, but I don't know that busting off rounds in a neighborhood near schools at 1:30 in the afternoon is really the way to go. And again, let me reemphasize, what goes up must come down. That's a big problem. Those rounds are coming down somewhere. All right, a final thought as we wrap up this this portion of the program. We're going to have UNC football coming up here next, so we're excited for that. So, but as we wrap this up here, I want to just share with you a thought. Labor Day is an important holiday. It's the traditional end of the summer, though we're blessed here to live in a part of the country where the summer will continue for a number of other weeks in front of us. But I want to encourage everybody to relax, take some time off, reframe, and reset. Because when we come back next week, we've got some dynamite shows for you. That's going to do it for me. Thanks to Josh and Anna and Boomer and everybody else who's helped out on the program today. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll talk to you next week. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.